Before we get started, I got a little small announcement I'd like for you to know about. Charity's not with us today, and that is because my dad is really, really, really sick. And so she went down and offered to be down there and to sit with him and that type of thing. So she ain't going to be here for a while, and I have no idea how long that's going to be. Maybe a month or two, maybe a week, who knows. So if you'd keep us in your prayers, the boys are already requesting that I cook better. But I'm working on that. Yes?
We need a substitute teacher.
That means we need a substitute teacher also because she was slated to teach. What grade? Anyone wants a substitute teach? Hey, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning is service, so you're going to have an opportunity. That's great. That fits right in. You know, the elders have asked me to start talking about deacons this morning. We need to appoint some more deacons for the work of the Lord here in this place. And as I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, you know, what is a deacon? What does a deacon do? Are you a deacon? Are you a deaconess? Are you a servant? Are you not? I don't know. I started thinking about this idea, and I thought, you know, we really need to hammer this idea out. And I got to thinking about when I was young. I said to my mom, I asked Mom all these questions. Mom, what's a deacon anyway? She says, oh, a deacon, that's just somebody who does the physical work in the church. So we currently have four deacons, and they're the only ones doing the physical work in the church, right? Wrong. Okay, so we got a little bit of talking to do this morning as we understand what deacons are. But now here's how I've elected to do it, and I hope this comes across right. The first thing I'm going to do is talk about us in a general way being servants of the Lord, okay? And then I'm going to move along at the end of the sermon to describe what a deacon's functions are, okay? And I think you'll see that they're closely related. So the first thing is, I don't remember, servants of Christ. Okay. Now I'm going to go through a list, and I purposefully put this together, and I know I may have left something out, okay? So if I did, I tried. But I put together a list of everything that we do to make everything that we do in the kingdom work. Everything from sweeping the carpet and on, okay? So I want to talk about this. This is important to me because I think we as a church should gain some understanding as to just what it takes for us to function as a body of Christ in this building for worship day, in the community during the week, and in the rest of the times in our lives. So here they are. And I know you probably can't read all those things. I'm going to go through them one at a time, okay? First of all, I listed the deacons and their responsibilities. The first one is education. Ron Burke is over education. And let me tell you what, is Ron the one that does all the teaching for us? Does he teach the kindergarten class? Did he teach them this morning? What about second and the third grade? No, there's a lot of people that work under Ron's guidance and oversight in those areas of education. And you know what? When Ron thinks about what we need to gain spiritually, he formulates a plan of what we're going to study. Make sure that those things will mesh together, fit together, and that we will gain some spiritual ground, okay? Lots and lots and lots of effort. Ron knows. Trying to get classroom teachers when some people can't make it, like Charity, okay? So Ron's got an enormous responsibility. Then you have Russ Dabney, which is somewhere here. I don't know where he is. Oh, I like to see who I'm talking about. You got Russ Dabney. Russ is over the building. Now, if we build on this new building, what's it going to be? About twice the size, right? So, Russ, you're responsible for doing everything here at the church building, right? You do a great job, and I'm glad you can physically handle taking care of all the plant needs here at the church building and this new church building. Can you do all that by yourself? Ain't no way. That's his response. Can't do it. But he leads a team of people that work underneath him, and under his guidance and oversight, he manages that area, right? Okay. Then we have the grounds. Where's Keith Kearns? Way back there. Boy, what are you doing way back there? Keith manages the grounds. Okay. Can you do everything yourself, Keith? Ain't no way, right? Don Martin helps out, comes out and keeps this grass mowed and has, as long as I can remember, weed eating and doing all that. Keith also manages clipping those bushes and trimming those bushes out front. The dirt that's all tore up over here, he manages that. And a lot of times he has folks working underneath him, right? Big process for outside, right? Parking lot, striping the parking lot, all of those things, Deacon Keith is over, right? You like that new term, Deacon Keith? Okay. And then we have a Jay Keller. Where you at, Jay? I see you're hiding. Okay. Jay is over visitation. And you know what? Visitation is a big, important part of what we do. And Jay goes around and he figures out who needs visited, who might need encouraged, and then he goes around asking some of us to help him in that. Big responsibility. These are vital to the work of the church here. Then we have worship arrangements. Well, who is it each week that comes up with who's going to lead the songs? Who's going to do the scripture reading? Who's going to work on the Lord's Supper? You know what, folks? This is something that has to be done every week. Then we've got the youth. Folks that work with the youth and the youth rallies and taking them out to events and stuff like that. Travis Pearson and Dave Smith have worked great in those areas. We appreciate that work so much. Then we've got finance and bookkeeping. Man, you want to talk about a job. That's a full-time job, keeping up with the finances of everything that's given here, making sure that we all have receipts at the end of the year for our charitable contributions. That doesn't come easy. Lots and lots and lots of work. Then we have missions. We support Travis's dad in South Africa. We also support Jason down in Atlanta, Iowa. And we do World Bible School. And our missions effort takes a lot of thinking to make sure that we're doing the right thing, a lot of prayerful consideration. Then we have leadership training. Remember toward the end of last year, as we talked about, we had the men and some other folks too coming together to train to become leaders. Watching films downstairs and thinking about future potential leadership roles, a vital part of the church. Because if we're not training men to become leaders, what's going to happen in the future? Leaderless, right? Then van maintenance. Oh, yeah, that's not a big thing, is it? Yeah, it is, Arch, isn't it? Arch just spent a whole bunch of time working on the van. He makes sure that the van is in good shape for our kids to ride in and for us to ride in. That's a lot of work. Then we've got the webmaster. Ron originally set up our church website. Russ Dabney has been maintaining it and putting sermons, audio sermons and outlines and reworking it a little bit. Is that a full-time work, brother? It's more than a full-time work, he says. Then we have sound and video equipment. Russ digitally tapes these sermons each week for folks that need to have a copy, want to have a copy. Maybe I'll preach on something that's interesting to you or something that you're struggling with. And as a result of Russ's work there, outside of his regular responsibility, he's doing the taping of these sermons and managing the video equipment. We have Colton, my son. I love you, brother. He's sitting back in that little hole back there, running the PowerPoint projector so that all this business will work. I have no idea how it works. I just push the button, you know. But he's back there making sure that that's happening. Sandy Engle helps in that also, in setting up these announcements that scroll through on the PowerPoint before we sit down for service. Then we have fellowship. Kirk Kelly works with fellowship. You know how important fellowship is? What if Kirk Kelly just went away? What if we didn't worry about fellowshipping with each other? Would we be a strong, close-knit group as a church? I think the answer is no. Brother Kirk spends a lot of time with that, and we appreciate that. Then we got the sick and shut-ins. Now, we should assign someone to go see the sick and shut-ins, you know, like the preacher. No, all of us go visit the sick and shut-ins, right? To make sure that they're encouraged. Then we've got benevolence. How many of you have worked with benevolence? Raise your hand. Oh, that can be a real job. Making sure that you're doing the right thing with the Lord's money and making, you know, all that business. Lots of time and money and gas driving all over town to help people. But something that needs to happen. Then the bulletin. How many of you have ever done the bulletin? Okay, now I just want to note you guys so you can do a rotation in the future. Now, the bulletin is a great informative process. And Colleen has been doing that. And let me tell you what, truckload of work. Truckload of work. We thank you. We really do. Truckload of work. Then we have the phone tree. Is the phone tree important? Well, sure it is. And I don't have a current clue who's running that. It's Phyllis has got one branch of that. I think Mary has a branch of that. Anybody else have a branch of that? Catherine Dabney? Okay. Then we have printing. Sometimes things need to be printed and taken to the printer. Sometimes they're just run off downstairs for classroom activities. Then we have the directory. You know that area that we haven't been doing too good at lately, the directory? But has gotten a little bit of attention through Sandy Engel, I believe. In the past, Ed Seiferline did some of that work for us, but we've just gotten to a point where it's just such a struggle to work on that. But the work that gets done on it is important. What's important about having a directory? That's not important. Why is Dan up here talking about a directory on Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. All you new folks know, because you can take a directory and you can learn people's names, right? And you can get to know people. Vitally important, right? Then we have janitorial and cleaning services. I want you to know, I was up here yesterday, and Brad and Alyssa were up here cleaning the building. And buddy, you know, you can clean or you can clean. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I can kind of hit it just a little bit and say, yeah, I got it. Man, Brad had rubber gloves on. That was impressive to me. He was getting after. You know what? All of you that pitch in on cleaning this, you are vitally important. The church building needs to be cleaned and taken care of. God has given us this, and we are to take care of it. I mentioned that already. Orientation of new folks. When new folks come to town, sometimes they need shown around. They need introduced to people. Vital importance. Something that needs to be done. Then, what about involvement? I thought this was going to be a short lesson, but it's not. Involvement. Why should we concern ourselves with involvement? You know why? Because if you're involved in the Lord's work, that means you've bought into the program. You're right there where you ought to be. And when you have something to do, you feel like you're a part of it. Folks, involvement is so serious that churches hire involvement ministers. We're always thinking about who's involved and who's not, and we're trying to make things for folks to do because you know what? There's plenty of work, isn't there? Transportation. Jay Keller goes and picks people up as we have Bible studies and people don't have ways to come. Other people pick folks up too. Glenn and Mary, the Potters, and maybe some of the Burks pick up their grandkids. Lots of people are involved with that. What about vacation Bible school? Oh no, lots of work, right? This year, VBS is going to be done by Casey and Edwin Isley. Lots and lots and lots of work. Community outreach. What about Bible camps? We have Dave Kinzer for Wisconsin Christian Youth Camp. He sits on the board, and Beth Potter sits on the board at Midwest Bible Camp. Making sure that our kids have an opportunity to go to camp and learn more about is that important, folks? What about the library downstairs? Have you looked in the library lately? How clean and neat it is and how organized it is? If you're on that committee or crew, raise your hand because I don't know who it is. I think it's Marlene Engel. And okay, no one's on that. So if you're looking for a job, right there's one, okay? Then we have administration. What does the administration do? The administration works on paying the bills, making sure that our insurances are up to date, making sure that we're legal as far as our corporation papers, whether I like that idea or not, that it has to be done. Sorting the mail. You know what they've been spending some time with lately? The sexual abuse policy. Has any churches had problems with sexual abuse with their children? Yes. We are very serious about that not happening to our children. That takes time. It's very, very important. What about spiritual growth? Structuring spiritual growth. What about preaching? What about Jean Dabney keeping the attendance? She just looked down like nobody saw her, you know. She keeps the attendance chart. Now, what good is an attendance chart? I'll tell you what good an attendance chart is. An attendance chart, you know, as we're getting bigger and more people here, we've been averaging 130 or so every Sunday. Sometimes I don't know who's here and who's not. As we grow, that becomes a bigger and bigger issue, and I can go grab that attendance chart and I can see if you've not been coming. Well, maybe you're sick. Maybe you've fallen away from where you need to be spiritually. I don't know, but I get an idea of that. The elders look at that, and some of you look at that as well. Very, very important, and we thank you, Gene. What about the women's ministry? Ladies' Bible class. Some of the ladies get together to pray before service. You talk about a great thing that happens here is our women's ministry. Awesome. And I'm glad to know that they're working so hard. What about hospital visits? How many of you have been in the hospital and wanted somebody to come visit you? Is that important? Vitally important. There's list one, there's list two. Secretary work. That's important. Taking out the trash. Let me tell you how important that one is. You know what? It's a small thing. Taking out the trash. But is it important? Man, I'll say, unless we want to get rats in the building, unless we have no place to put our trash. And then, the trash, taking the trash can out to the curb. Returning the trash can. You see what I'm getting at, folks? All the things that happen here. What about making the unleavened bread? Who does that? Marlene, you or Dwayne or both? Dwayne? Preparing the Lord's Supper. Dwayne, David, my kids sometimes, some others as well. Keith Kearns, I've seen him doing it. Sending flowers to the sick. Catherine Dabney. PowerPoint announcements, mention that one. Widow care and elderly care. Do we believe taking care of our older folks is important? Yes, we do. All of us are involved in that work. Evangelism, encouragement, nursery work, singles work, the Newell Post that we do at Christmas. Is that what that's called? Ken and Rose help with that. Help with the giving the gifts to the kiddos. Very important. Shoveling the snow. Is that important? Yes. Class teachers. How many of you teach classes? Raise your hand. Thank you for your work. Preparing the kids to read Scripture. Wednesday night devotionals. Are those important? Having song leaders. What about the guys that do the table talk? Kirk Kelly, we appreciate your table talk this morning. What about the shepherding? Prayer leaders. What about folks that do artwork for VBS and for other occasions? What about cooking for the sick? What about a shoulder to cry on for someone in distress? What about locking up the building before we leave at night or at midday? What about mailing stuff to the post office? That's your favorite part, isn't it? Okay. What about resolving problems? What about funerals? What about weddings? What about the guest bread that's set out there to make guests feel welcome? What about the small groups? What about the building committee? Okay, I'll stop there. That's a huge list, isn't it? That is a lot of stuff that happens. A lot of stuff that is very, very important. Have you ever heard the city worker joke? And sorry if anybody's a city worker. You know, one man working and 20 standing around watching. Well, church, sometimes there's this little adage about churches, and I want you to know this. There's a little saying that 20% of the church does 80% of the work 100% of the time. What's that mean? That 80% of the church doesn't want to get involved? Well, maybe they just haven't been given a chance. But you know what? It's a big job, isn't it? Everything we do, and it takes everyone being involved. This morning, I want you to hang up on the fact that we are all servants of Christ, okay? Forget anything about deacons right now. All of us are servants of Christ. What happens if one person tries to do it all? Russ, we're going to give you everything to do, okay? Let us know when it's over. How would that go? Would Russ get a little tired? No, Russ couldn't do it. Russ would be worn out. Well, there's an example of this in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 18, we see Moses. He led the Israelites out of captivity and got back to Mount Sinai, and Jethro, his father-in-law, brings his wife and kids back to meet him. And through that, they're talking about everything that God has done for them. And the next day he gets up and Jethro observes Moses sitting in judgment with the people from morning to night. And he says, "What are you doing? What you're doing is not good. You're trying to do this all yourself. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. They can't take it. It's not good for them." So, we got to share the load, right? I got a great illustration. Been waiting all week for this. I'm moving kind of slow, so you just hang with me. Ryan, do your thing, buddy. Logan, was you going to help me this morning? Good job, man. I hope this works. Okay, that's good. Brother David Engel, I got to explain what's going on for people listening on the internet, okay? I have a plastic sled in the floor, and I've got a rope stretched out from this plastic sled. Brother David Engel, I'm going to have you sit in the sled. And how much do you weigh approximately without getting to...
215.
We'll talk about Weight Watchers lately.
Okay.
I weigh more than that, so I'm just teasing. Okay, hey, wait a minute, Logan. Come here, buddy. Oh, you're doing so good. I want you to grab that rope, buddy, and I want you to pull him down that aisle, okay? Just grab. See where that knot is? There you go. Grab that with your hand. Okay. Now, I want you to pull him down that aisle, okay? Go ahead. Oh. Hey, what? Why ain't he... Hey, come here. Why ain't he moving? You can't do it? Are you tired and wore out?
I can't do it anymore.
So
what? Too much for me.
So would it be better if you had some help?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Hold on. All the kids. Want all the kids to come out here in the aisle and grab the rope. No, don't pull yet. Because all the kids... Caden, do you want to come grab this rope? Everybody grab the rope. Okay, now slowly start to pull. Oh, look at there. You guys are pulling him. Woo! Okay. I think that'll do. All the kids can go sit back with their parents, okay? After they pull David all the way down the aisle. No, don't go out the door. Come on back. We'll give the kiddos just a second to come back to their seats. Folks, the point, as you have well seen, is We must share the load. What was impossible for one kiddo was more than possible when all the kids jumped in and helped. Logan was wearing out. He was in bad shape. But when all the kids come to help, there that sled took off. Brother Engel, you did well. Thank you. Appreciate you. Church, if you're not involved in a work of service for the Lord, you need to be. God has asked you to be. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. In the New Testament, there's a word that appears 30 times, and it is the word diakonos. Now, I know diakonos sounds a little bit like deacon, but just forget that right now. This word diakonos appears 30 times, and you know what it means? It means servant. And God expects, yes, He demands that all of us be servants, right? Turn with me to John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. It says, Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside His garments, and taking a towel, He girded Himself. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. So He came to Simon Peter and He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, Not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did for you. Jesus girded himself with a towel, and he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. And when he got done, he said, Look, folks, I'm setting an example, and I command you to do the same. Jesus got down and served his disciples. How many of you have ever washed somebody's feet? I have. My grandmother, she was a Baptist and at one point in her life, and they do feet washing. And one of the reasons they do feet washing is they want to show this example of how important service is. And I got to tell you, washing feet is a stinky proposition. It's not fun. It's not glorious in any way, shape, or form. Yet our Lord and Savior, who came down from heaven, got down on His knees and washed people's feet. He set an example of service, and then He said, You know what, folks? I set this example, and I want you to do that for other people. I want you to remember that your place is of service. He did not qualify the person being served. For who did he serve? He also served Judas Iscariot, right? Judas, who was to betray him, did he know that? Sure he knew it, but he went ahead and washed his feet. You know what, church? sometimes we think to ourselves, I think in part, hey, is this person worthy for me to do this to or not? And you know what God says? That is not the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be servants. You don't qualify people for service. God has set you apart to do this, to be people of service. The truth is that some people don't want to serve. Did you catch me there? Some people don't want to serve. They want to be served. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, and let's read about that. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, by the way, you get that from Mark's account, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine might sit on your right and one on your left." And Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that their great men exercise authority over them. Is it not this way among you? But whosoever wishes to become great among you shall become your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man," listen in church, "just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus says, you know what? I came not to take up a place where I'm going to be served. But Jesus came to serve, and he instructs us likewise to be servants. We have this enormous list of things that need to happen in the church, and many of us here share in those responsibilities. And Jesus says, that's right. You, the church, are to be servants. You are to be diakonos, mentioned 30 times in the New Testament. You are to be servants. Servants of God. But there are divisions in service. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When you think back to that big long list that I read at the beginning, who should do what? Should we draw straws? Should somebody just sit and delegate tasks out? Why do we need deacons and all? Why don't we all just pitch in and get these things done? Because on that list, there are divisions of work to be done. I want to suggest to you, scripturally, that anything on that list that has to do with spiritual oversight is the elder's responsibility. Okay? Does that mean that we, the church, cannot do anything the elders do? No. If the elders are spiritually and scripturally encouraging someone else, do they have the keys to the kingdom on that and we don't need to mess with that at all? No. All of us need to be about spiritually encouraging one another, but it is set forth as a division of work by God to come underneath the eldership, right? Then we have a whole lot of work that needs to happen. Printing the bulletins and all these things. Well, think about our current deacons. They have been assigned specific work. Why have they been given that specific work and not other work? Good question. Glad you asked. The word diakonos in the Greek, translated 30 times in the New Testament, servant, two of the times that it's translated it is given another meaning. Two times diakonos is translated deacon. But all of the times it means servant. Now what does a deacon need to do? Why do we need deacons? Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Here the word diakonos, or deacon, doesn't even exist. But it is the first place where the duties of a deacon is spelled out. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint rose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the work of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Church, here is given an exact description of what a deacon is. Okay? Deacon is first translated deacon in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and secondly in 1 Timothy chapter 3 under the qualifications of deacon, where the word servant is given a different word to explain the function of what's going on. The deacon here in Acts chapter 6 is given 3 things which declares an official sort of position. It's given, the deacons in this spot are given a specific job to do. They are given a qualification and an appointment. Where else do you see that in Scripture about anyone else? About the shepherds, right? Here in Acts chapter 6, the Grecian widows were being overlooked. There was a problem happening, right? And it had to do with the distribution of food. Now, Mom told me, hey, being a deacon's all about physical labor. It's the physical labor of the church. Is there a problem with that in conjunction with Acts chapter 6? Maybe something a little bit more there. There was a battle going on. The Jews were passing out the food and they were overlooking some people. There were some spiritual concerns going on. And I want to suggest to you today that the deacons are much more than just physical laborers. They have spiritual discernment. They are given authority by the church to carry out their job. Here, these deacons had to distribute food. They had to decide who was right and wrong in disputes about the food. They had to be given permission to spend church funds to do this work. You see, a lot of responsibility happened there. These deacons assumed leadership roles in the church. There's your key. Deacons are appointed to leadership roles in the church. Ron Burke is over education, and anything that happens within the education goes through him. He works on it. He employs a lot of people helping him. He oversees that work. He's in a public arena with that work. He takes leadership responsibility. He's been given authority to do that work. Russ is the same way. Russ can't do the things of this building all by himself, but he employs a whole army of Christians to help him. He has been given oversight and responsibility with qualifications to do that work. Jay, it's the same. Keith, it's the same. these men have been appointed and given leadership roles in the church, but they are still servants, aren't they? It never changes. The word diakonos means servant, whether you're talking about a deacon or whether you're talking about us. But the deacons are the ones having leadership responsibilities in the Lord's church. I don't know where that slide came from, but it's a good one. Many hands make the work lighter. So here's Ron Burke and his wife, Sharon. They would not have posed for this picture if they'd known I was going to put it up there. He is one of our deacons. Keith Kearns, one of our deacons, and his wife, LaVon. Russ, one of our deacons, and wife, Vicki. Jay, one of our deacons, and his wife, Colleen. These men have been appointed, selected from among you, if you remember from Acts chapter 6. What, are we just going to get us some guys that we think will do a good job and just appoint them? Hey, you know, some churches, the elders just appoint deacons. Is that how it happened in the Scripture? The Scripture said, you select from among yourselves. We, the apostles in that case, we're devoting ourselves to the Word of God. We're going to enlist some men to take care of some of these matters around here to give us the ability to do what we need to do in conjunction with God's Word. Very vital. Church, I want to tell you this morning that we are growing. We're growing in this list that I put up there, 68 things, is way bigger. I didn't get everything. We need help. We need more deacons. And we need more servants, deaconesses, deacons in training, servants, okay? To work underneath these deacons, these appointed leaders, we need more of them. Our job is too huge. Is all the things we listed on our list earlier, are they important in the kingdom of God? They're more than important. They're essential that we do. I want you, church, to be thinking about, and prayerfully, I like my prayer picture, I've always kind of liked that. I want you to be prayerful about who among us would be a good deacon. Go ahead and start thinking about reading 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at the list of qualifications, as we have termed them, for men who would be able to serve in this manner. Because you know what? Deacons do more than just physical labor. They have spiritual qualifications. They do spiritual work as well. And brethren, these things are essential to what we do in the kingdom. Are we going to grow? I hope so. And we need these godly men who serve among us, and we need more of them. I look out across this auditorium, and you know what I say? We got a lot more than one man that could serve as deacons, my personal opinion. Think about whether you would be willing to serve as a deacon, and if you're qualified, and think about who you might put down when we pass a recommendation form around coming up probably next week or the week after. And be reading, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 3 as we look at the qualifications. This morning, I hope that you remember, as you start thinking about deacons, the fact that you are a servant also. You are called to service also, and it is vital that you be involved in the work of the Lord. If you don't have something to do, I want you to come see me or Brother David afterwards and let us make a note and get you something going so that you can be involved in the work of the Lord. This morning we're going to go ahead and sing a song of invitation, and I haven't had so much of an evangelistic sermon this morning, but I want to mention to you from Revelations, as Ron was talking about earlier, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb is the message that through all this service that we're trying to communicate to the community and to to the lost of this world. If you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've not been baptized into Christ, if you've not taken Him on, been united with Him, if you've not had your sins washed away, this would be an opportunity for you to do that. If you have any need this morning, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing.